Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Next time you are so inclined to pop some popcorn, you put the bacon grease in the pan, in the pot. You warm it up and put the popcorn in the bacon grease, and you pop the popcorn. And you prepare for the best batch of your life.
I'll hold your popcorn.
Not necessary.
No, it's no problem. Why don't you want me to hold the popcorn? Because obviously there's a problem with holding
the popcorn.
No, there's a little bit of a problem.
It's my popcorn. It's not necessary.
You don't want me to hold the popcorn, right? Because what? You think I'm going to eat your popcorn?
All right.
Then you got to have a little butter and a little salt.
But you don't have a popcorn maker, right?
No.
The clock's jumping around bigger than a popcorn machine right now.
Maybe it is a popcorn machine.
I got to tell you, like, this sounds like something worth bringing people in. And Mr. David makes popcorn.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
You want some popcorn?
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. It's right down the hallway from our studios, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all. And we want to give out a special thanks. We'll be thanking them all day because, boy, are they here and prepared. The fine folks, Nuts on Clark, they're providing popcorn for us and our listeners this morning. It is unbelievable what they've done with
morning,
our culinary
Molly.
Kitchen.
David. There is a lot of popcorn here, and there's going to be a lot more made later, and people can have fun. We've got an audience. It is early. People are ready. It's Friday. We made it. There's a lot going on this weekend, Cubs and Sox. A lot happened yesterday with the Bears, and there's plenty to discuss.
And not just the schedule release, apparently.
This wasn't on the agenda.
No.
This suddenly popped up on the agenda.
Yeah. Look, we both know Seth Wickersham, who is the author of the upcoming book in which he chronicles the reluctance that Caleb Williams, his family, had about coming to Chicago. He's got a book coming out. He's a very he's a talented guy, good writer, credible source. I don't doubt anything that he is going to be writing in this book, and I'm sure it's direct quotes and all the rest of it. But I got to tell you, and I know we're going to get into it. We'll pick it apart. There is a lot of yesterday's news involved in this because, mercifully, we have moved on from the era of concern, if I can call it that. Mm-hmm. And listen, it's been a lifetime of concern for some Bear fans.
The timing of it is because the book is coming out in the fall, and the release was yesterday, or excerpts yesterday, ESPN.com captured. And yes, this is ground that we've covered before. What we learned yesterday was confirmation of some things we thought we knew.
Right.
And this was Seth Wickersham, a highly respected journalist, confirming a lot of the suspicions we had about Carl Williams, the father, wanting to steer his son away from Chicago and the Bears, a franchise where, in his words, quarterbacks go to die. There's not really much to argue about.
Receivers came here to
both.
Die.
They're okay. Both. It's,
there's a connection.
Both
there.
Careers okay. are doomed if you end up in Chicago at Halas Hall. But I think what when we're doing this, I mean, obviously you can't ignore it because it creates the kind of attention that created a stir yesterday on this station throughout the city among Bears fans. But in terms of the relevance and significance moving forward, this is what Ben Johnson was brought here to do. This is why he's here. So Caleb Williams isn't watching film alone at Halas Hall. What a lonely image that creates.
That was awful.
The father isn't upset about the future of his son's career. Ben Johnson was brought here to mute the distractions, quiet the noise, and look forward, not backward.
And they paid him $13 million. You know, when you saw the Bears paying out money like that, I think this backstory might have helped to explain exactly what needed to happen.
Competence is expensive.
No doubt about it. Like, to be a head coach in the NFL, you need to be in charge of more than just the offense. But he's in charge of the team. He could be, you know, thought of or hopefully like someone in the, you know, Mike Holmgren mode, in the Shanahan mode, father and son, like an Andy Reid, somebody that can come in, be a head coach, make sure you're covering all the bases while also being able to call an offense. And he was on with Colin Cowherd yesterday, and he pointed out, yeah, they've never had a 4,000-yard passer, and he believes that Caleb will be able to do that. And they've done a lot in the offseason when you think about bringing in the new coaching staff, improving the offensive line, bringing in weaponry through the draft. They're going to try to get this guy up and running and having a positive career track.
If you're Ben Johnson, this was just another day at the office.
Yeah.
It's a little bit louder, and you had to deal with another issue perhaps on your desk, and you had to talk to Colin Cowherd about things maybe you didn't feel like you were planning to discuss. But the way you described it, that's why he is here. It didn't work. Caleb Williams' rookie season was unsuccessful from a team standpoint. Individually, there were things to like, but overall, it did not meet expectations. If it had met expectations, maybe Ben Johnson wouldn't be here. But there wouldn't be the kind of noise created either, because we wouldn't hear these tales of him watching tape alone and not knowing what to see and having concerns about fitting in and syncing with Shane Waldron, who was gone before Matt Eberflus was gone. So,
but David, now that's the part of it that stops me when I sit here and think about the story. If you're playing college football, and the one thing they have to do, they have the number one pick in the draft. We talked about this ad nauseum. They interviewed, what was it, 9 different people?
Yeah, 9 offensive coordinators.
They came away saying Shane Waldron. He has the same name as the parking deck. That's got to be a sign. They hire that guy. Now, you could say, well, Matt Eberflus was in charge of that hire. He wasn't the only guy in all those meetings. The general manager, the team president, the owner of the team, all were part of the hierarchy that brought in Shane Waldron, who you heard Caleb Williams say he didn't think he could work with before he got here. The only thing they had to do was find somebody to run the offense, because we knew it wasn't Matt Eberflus. I'm just saying, that problem hasn't gone away. It's great that Ben Johnson is here. It's great that he has power. But let's not lose sight of the other people that were involved in making
a decision.
What are
you talking about, Ryan Poles? Yeah, the person who comes out of this looking the worst, I believe, is the general manager, because he's the one who, number one, went into the draft and did not, if we remember, talk to Jaden Daniels, who had a pretty good rookie season. And I'm not saying that they picked the wrong guy. I still would pick Caleb Williams over again. But I think that we look at in the context of this story, Ryan Poles knew all of the concerns about Carl Williams, knew what kind of potential distraction it might create if he was trying to steer his son to the UFL, which is kind of ridiculous, if he wanted to have ownership in the team. All the things that create complications. Ryan Poles went into this with his eyes wide open, understanding what was ahead, how difficult it might be, and still did not consider one of the alternatives in Jaden Daniels. To me, I think that looks short-sighted. The other thing about it is
he didn't consider any of the alternatives. He didn't consider anybody but Caleb Williams.
He really didn't. I mean, did they talk to Drake May, perhaps, or maybe they spoke, considered him? But the fact they didn't even visit Baton Rouge and go through that process, it just looks worse now in retrospect. The other thing about the offensive coordinator job search, that's one they'll never live down.
Never.
Because that set back a rookie season and really derailed it before it began. And I think that's a bigger indictment on the GM, who is still here.
Yeah.
Who is still here. But I think of all the people that we look at, you know, who were maybe involved or mentioned yesterday, implicated, if you will, I think Caleb Williams is kind of an unwitting accomplice in all this. His dad is the one doing a lot of the talking. His dad is the one who talked to Wickersham.
Yep.
But Ryan Poles is the one who's still here and has the job and is, I think, easiest to question because of the things he didn't do going through this process.
Well, I mean, the reality of life is that if the kid plays well this year, if he's as good as people think he can be, as good as Ben Johnson believes he can be, then this is all going to be just some noise that happened earlier.
I don't think this has anything to do with this year.
No, I don't think it has a thing
to do. I don't think it's going to have anything to do with this season.
It's going to impact it at all. But I do think that in some recess of your mind, you got to file away this as an indictment on the general manager. I'm going team president and I'm going owner. I think they were all involved in these meetings. And how you came away with the guy, Caleb Williams said that he came in and he met with everybody in Chicago and all this, and he decided, well, I don't want to nuke the city. I don't want to. He couldn't see himself turning down the Bears. He told his father, no, I'm going to Chicago and whatever.
So after visiting, meeting the people you just described,
but that's well into the process.
Yeah,
and he did have a concern that he wasn't going to be able to work with Walton. And guess what? He couldn't, and they had to fire the guy. And they had never before fired a coach in season, and they had to fire the head coach. So that tells you a lot, just following the footprints of it. Then they go out, and they get the best offensive coach that they can find, the hottest guy on the market, and they paid him top dollar, and they never hesitated. I don't think they had a choice.
Well, they did not have a choice because they backed themselves into that corner.
Yeah,
and once
that's right.
Once you handled or mishandled the Caleb Williams indoctrination into the NFL as poorly as the Bears did, and everything you just said about ownership, about the general manager, about the team president, exactly right, because those are the right people to target when you're talking about what went wrong and how this was mishandled and maybe the lack of communication between the Bears brass and the quarterback's father, because that's who's driving this whole thing.
Right.
Once they botched that, they could not botch the coach hire. That's why Ben Johnson being here means as much as it does, not just because of his ability to call plays and to structure game plans and do those kinds of things, but because you saw yesterday, just in the first interview he did from after this, he understands where the emphasis needs to be.
Yep.
He is not here for any kind of distraction, and you're putting a lot on one coach and one person in the organization, but that's why you're paying him the big bucks, as they say, and frankly that's why people are so impressed with his ability to handle situations not only on the field but off, and why he's the right guy at the right time for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do, and I think the one thing that we can rest assured is they're not gonna not watch tape with him. I mean, that was
well, he should
most
be the least neglected person at Hallis Hall.
Huh?
He should be the least neglected person.
Oh,
in
my
Hall.
God.
They
never watched tape. But they told him, yeah, you got, it's time to watch tape. I turn it on and see if you can find it.
That's a terrible depiction. But it's also partly – that's the part where I think is on Caleb Williams. If you're watching tape alone and you're worried about them not telling you what to look for, don't you ask? Don't you – seek an audience? Keep some company? Also, that's why they need a backup quarterback. They need a backup quarterback who's been there and done that. Why Case Keenum makes a lot of sense. Look, due respect to Tyson Bagent.
You're putting this on Bagent?
Yes, I'm putting this on the Bagency. The Bagency failed Caleb Williams and company. That's it.
And then, what was the kid's name? Austin Reed, that other kid.
We know you.
You should never be watching tape alone. And if you are and you're still wondering what to look for,
right,
then you need to seek some guidance from people who were in the building. It's not like they didn't have 17 quarterback coaches assigned to Caleb Williams. They were worried about having too many voices in Caleb Williams' head. How about one?
Yeah.
How about having somebody who's telling, hey, Caleb, look here.
The eventual offensive coordinator, who then became the head coach, said that he hadn't really talked to the quarterback because there were so many guys.
They were so.
I mean, think about that.
They were so concerned with stepping out of line. But you know what? If the noise was around, well, you know, if you say something wrong to Caleb Williams, you're gonna tick off his father. I might be very cautious too.
I mean, God bless Caleb Williams. How old is he? 21 years old.
23 years old.
23.
He's 23 years old.
So, David, you know, we both.
He'll be 23 in November, I believe.
We both have had fathers, and we both have our fathers. And I think we understand the dynamics of parenting and being parented. And I just don't know that I ever would have wanted my old man even remotely connected to any work event I had. Do you know what I mean?
That's why when we were talking about
it's your first coach and all that stuff.
I agree. That's why this story, to me, is less about a quarterback that is trying to engineer whatever he wants and get his way. Yeah, maybe there's some of that. Maybe he came in with a little bit of a diva reputation. But this is the domineering father here is the star of this story.
But that is a star of the quarterback story. You could write a book on that, Dustin. See if you can get Rick Meyer's dad. Let's find out what
Ken Meyer.
I'm just saying that's another example. There have been tons of people.
Oh,
it's just sort of
the quarterback's
par
father
for the course.
Yeah, that's the book title.
The quarterback's
Do the research.
Father.
I'll market it. I'll edit it. I'll write the foreword. You're right though, because. And Carl Williams is the driving force behind a lot of this stuff.
Yes,
and
fair.
Carl Williams was the driving force behind the speculation about Caleb Williams coming into the draft. You remember all the things he told one of them, Esquire or was it GQ, whatever magazine it was, but he spoke about wanting to circumvent the draft process. Mike Florio got worked up about that. And everybody talked about Caleb Williams wanting to maybe do something different, but have a stake in the team. That wasn't a 21-year-old's thoughts. That was his father.
But yeah, I agree with you. But I'm saying his father effectively was his agent because he didn't have an agent. And a lot of the quoting in the book comes from conversations he had with agents. It's stuff that Carl Williams talked to agents about as much as Seth himself. So I just think
That Carl Williams told Seth Wickersham he talked to agents about.
Yeah.
I would love to hear what the agents who he actually spoke with, how that depicted how they depicted those conversations.
Stay with me. We're going to the U.S. football. We're going to play in Canada for 6 months and then we'll.
Now introducing the quarterback for the Birmingham Stallions, Caleb Williams. Come on. That was never going to happen. That was never going to happen.
You could stay in college and make more money.
The one thing that you say is true is not you, a lot of what you said is true.
I said one thing. But
the one that stands out, Caleb Williams is going to take a lot of heat for this.
Yes, probably.
And this is going to harm his reputation.
Ah, for 10 minutes.
Until he wins.
Until he wins.
Until he wins.
If he wins,
he's
if he
got
throws
to win.
For 4,000 yards this year, it's all yesterday's news. I mean, really. I feel like it is yesterday's news already, because hopefully you got a guy that can lead the team, knows how to develop a quarterback, has done it before in the league. He's had the top offense 3 years running in the NFL. You would think that he could come in here and run a professional.
Well, he can change the subject very easily.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to do that by being consistent and successful and making sure that everybody's worried about what's going to happen rather than what already has happened.
I got time. I mean, like, if it were, like, me and my buddies, they're like, every time you're in the huddle, you'd be giving the guy a hard time about playing for the USFL or the U.S., whatever. You know what I mean? You could really have some fun with it if you just get past
If he's that kind of a guy.
Well.
That's what we don't know. We don't know. If he's watching tape alone, I don't know if he's that kind of a guy.
Well,
why would he ever be watching tape alone?
I don't get that at all. I think it's more like, are you the type of guy that's going to make that joke, whether he likes it or not? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes people have like personalities where they can't resist that kind of a rich vein of comedic talent.
We have yet to hear from him. We'll hear from him probably next week on this. It won't go away until he addresses it.
No,
I think he has handled every situation like this like a pro. He's got very good very good presence and poise, and that's been the best thing about his rookie year. The problem is that what this underscores as much as anything is that he has to understand, I think, that everything about being a franchise quarterback in a city like Chicago is 24/7, 365. You do not take any days off. You can't have a bad day, or you can't have a day where you are perceived to be disinterested or not in that big of a leader, or the guy that is showing up later, blowing off team functions or things like that. You've got to be the guy that is locked in, committed, and the example for everybody else. Now, if that wasn't him last year, that you can maybe give him some grace because it was a terribly dysfunctional situation and he was a rookie. But he's not any longer, and he's got the best coach that he could imagine kind of setting the course for him. But now it's on Caleb Williams.
I thought it was really also kind of interesting because if you recall, after they played the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell came over and hugged the kid and talked
now
to
we
him
know.
In his ear hole. And everybody's like, what was he saying? What was going on?
And JJ's said, really hurt. We want you.
And O'Connell said, yeah, don't worry. I'll get you out of there.
I'll figure it out.
Just hold out.
Trust me.
He said in the post game, as I recall, that he connected with Caitlin at the combine, with Caleb at the combine. They had gotten together and really hit it off, and he has known him for a while. Mm-hmm. And he said he just wanted to give him some encouragement. Well, it turns out that was the team he wanted to go to. That was the guy mm-hmm. that he wanted to play for. And I think that's very interesting just because the Bears play them on opening day this year, and J.J. McCarthy will get that benefit.
It's another subplot. It's a great subplot.
It's going to add a little something to that first game of the year.
That rivalry, or not rivalry, but the Bears-Viking rivalry, and that relationship between O'Connell and Caleb Williams will be something to keep an eye on moving forward because it always will add a little bit of spice to the Bears-Vikings. But, you know, coming out of college, if you're the number one overall pick and you don't know who's going to take you or who could be moving up to get you and the Vikings situation was unsettled, what quarterback would want to play for Kevin O'Connell? I can't hold that against Caleb Williams. If you're coming out and you got a choice between the Bears and where quarterbacks go to die, in the words of your father, or Kevin O'Connell, where quarterbacks go to flourish, I'm picking the Vikings.
But I think that's the point. The point is that the Bears, the perception of the Bears where quarterbacks go to die, the perception of Minnesota is they do a great job with quarterbacks. And guess what? Kevin O'Connell did a great job last year with a quarterback who got paid handsomely, and now they move on to their draft pick. Local guy made good, J.J. McCarthy. Yep. So I just think it's a fun little thing.
Oh, it is.
And thank God he didn't say he wanted to play for the Flower.
Now that would be a
problem.
That
would not have worked out.
That would be a problem.
That would be
a bigger problem.
That might be an
insurmountable
problem.
You can see the Kevin O'Connell appeal. He's a very soft-spoken guy. He's very entertaining on a podcast. You know, I don't get the whole Matt LaFleur thing. But Kevin O'Connell, I think something I'd like. Have a glass of wine with the Kevin O'Connell. Matt LaFleur, little break.
You want to have a glass of wine with Kevin
O'Connell? With Kevin O'Connell, why not?
He's an Irish-American.
All right, have
Let's go have a beer.
Whatever. He strikes you more of a red wine guy, though, doesn't he? He's probably got a vineyard.
Oh, no. He seems like he's kind of a normal, you know, typical guy, could sing a rebel song, you know, handsome Irish guy. Kind of got a dark side somewhere. Come on.
It does add something to the rivalry. It does. It does add a little bit of spice, and it'll be good to hear what Caleb has to say whenever he addresses it. We heard from Ben Johnson yesterday. This would be something that, because it's the quarterback of the Bears, that people will continue to talk about. And when the book comes out again, the book comes out in September, maybe we'll have to revisit it again. If they were smart, they would release it the week before the Monday Night Football match.
There you go. Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, okay. So we're going to get into that. A lot of meat on that bone. We'll talk about it. I believe I see people wearing Cubs and Sox gear.
Seems
like there's more Cubs in Sox gear.
Kate Horton is starting. How about that?
Kate Horton is going to start.
Yeah.
Literally start. We got Tommy Hodaway is going to be here in a little bit.
I hope he can
talk to him.
Nobody's going to start.
You think he's very nervous?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. I think
all the anxiety.
Oh, Kate, he was very nervous. He'll sleep. Melatonin. But I think we got Tommy coming in. We get a chance to talk to him before this.
We got Chuck and Ozzy coming in.
We got Coom coming in.
Ron Coomer's coming in.
Then we got Chuck and Ozzy coming in. We got a lot of people. We're going to talk about this game. We'll pick it apart. We'll talk about the White Sox, even though they're not the big story, because they had a chance to get a sweep yesterday, but they decided to rest their two young players. Like, how I had to look it up. I believe talisman is the word for someone who is a good luck charm. So they've got two of them, I think, in Medruff and Cuero. And both of them sit yesterday when you're going for a sweep.
Sox are very concerned about rest.
Does that make any sense to you at all?
They're very concerned about rest.
They didn't have either of their talismans. It's not talisman. You would think man would turn men, but it's two different words.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that ever.
It bothered me.
But that's good.
It went through my head.
But they are 7-7 in May.
Yes.
They're 500 team in May.
Yeah.
I don't think we expected that to happen.
Do you know, I believe
they're playing pretty well.
I believe their division in May is something like 41-20.
When's the last time the Twins lost?
Well, I'm saying the Twins, the Royals, and the Guardians are all winning. That's a very good division.
And the Tigers are probably the best team in the American League right now.
Tigers might be the best team.
Because of Javi Baez.
Because he's the comeback player of the year.
He is right now.
All right. And his numbers, eerily similar to Pete Crow Armstrong's, the guy that was traded for him, the two center fielders. I don't think that was part of the plan, and I don't think it was actually...
I'd rather have PCA right now.
Yeah, I would rather have him the last few years.
Thanks for the memories, Avi, but yeah,
all right.
PCA.
All right, we're going to get to all of it. We got the pick six next. We're going to have a blast today. Thanks to everyone for coming in. Smalley and
Thank you. Yeah.
On the score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Where are you on the idea that Caleb Williams looked into trying some extraordinary methods to avoid winding up as the Bears quarterback ahead of the 24 draft? According to a new book, American Kings, a biography of quarterback by Seth Wickersham, Caleb's father, Carl, telling him that Chicago is the place quarterbacks go to die in the months before the draft. The family looked into a way around the CBA to avoid coming to town. Caleb told Wickersham, "I wasn't ready to nuke the city," end quote, and became convinced to come here after pre-draft meetings at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, we kind of went over this a little bit. Obviously, it was surprising to have that all confirmed. But I do think that if you just think about it logically, if you were a quarterback coming out, you wouldn't be rushing to get to Chicago. That, you know, the history here would tell you that the middle linebacker position was invented, literally invented with the Bears, and the running back position, there are some glorious historical figures. Quarterbacks, it's a little bit more difficult, and certainly the modern passing game has been a challenge for a long time with the Bears.
Forever.
So, the first of forever. I think that it makes sense that he felt that way. The fact is he did come here. The fact is his fears about Shane Waldron were realized. The fact is they fired them and they're moving on and we're going on to a new thing. But I think you got to take all that and you got to understand it for what it is. And maybe it helps you kind of understand. I think what's interesting is Caleb Williams saw himself and sees himself as a guy who is going to win, and he's going to win a lot. And so he didn't want to kind of waylay his career before it started. But maybe now with the new head of football in the head coach, Ben Johnson, maybe things have changed. I think that's the hope, and that's what you rely on.
When these rumors started flying around, people that bought into them or even brought them up took a lot of grief, took a lot of heat. Like, what are you trying to do here? You're a conspiracy theorist. There's nothing to this. Blah, 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 blah. The only thing, I'm just happy that...
You're speaking from personal experience?
I am, yes, okay. Yes.
But, did we pick on you for believing that?
Yes, you did. Yeah. No, yes, you did.
But that's all true.
Which part?
You were a nut job.
Oh, okay. Sure. That part's true. But also, they.
So you feel seen.
These weren't my rumors.
We had conversations about this last year.
Right. These weren't my rumors. I just tried to introduce them, and I was kind of given the Heisman, no, we're not going to do that. You are.
By who? David?
I think David mostly, okay. Right. But.
Glad we're singling people out.
You know. It's going to be interesting, and we're going to talk about it. It's all about the response. I mean, really, that's what this is about. You know, that's why, as you guys pointed out very well, Ben Johnson was brought here.
Right.
You know, to get rid of all of this stuff. How does Caleb, we're going to talk about this in a minute, how does Caleb respond to all this? I want to go back to something you guys talked about, made me think, which is the whole point of the exercise, listening, in my opinion, to this kind of stuff. You know, who's to blame kind of for all it? I would actually, I'm not saying that Ryan Poles deserves a pass, which he does not, but this is one of those, I blame the family. I blame the organization. This is not new. This didn't start with Ryan Poles.
Right.
This has been going on for a long time. Ryan Poles just got the opportunity to direct the ship, if you will. So if I was pointing a finger at somebody of why this stuff even happens, it's the McCaskies.
Well, that's fair. I mean, because everybody's implicated here. Everybody looks bad. Ryan Poles, maybe even Kevin Warren to some degree, George McCaskey and the family. But look, I think if I shot down any kind of speculation about these, it was maybe because I don't think it matters. And I'm not sure that it matters now. What this is confirmation of a father who wanted to get the best situation for his son. It's all about perspective. They resisted the idea of going to Chicago because the Bears are where quarterbacks go to die. That's one way to look at it. You also could look at it, this is where you want to go to flourish. You can be a legend here. You could be the best quarterback ever in franchise history because the bar's not as high as it is in some other franchises. That wasn't the case. The kinds of things that Carl Williams suggested seemed then and they seem now outlandish, ridiculous, and unrealistic. Going to the UFL, come on. You're not going to get...
consulting a lawyer to figure out how you get past the CBA...
How do you do that? Nobody's ever done that in history. Some people will look at the same CBA that Carl Williams was criticizing and say, well, you know, it's pretty solid for rookies because it gives them what they deserve and they don't have to worry about negotiating, all those things. But all this was confirmation of some of the rumors that were dismissed at the time, and now we know that they were true. To me, it doesn't have anything to do with what's ahead for 2025. I think that's the one thing that you got to make sure. The response is important. How Caleb Williams handles this maybe is significant, but I don't think it has to be something that labels him or stays with him beyond this season. He can dictate how people will think of him by how he plays, not what is said in a book, not what is written, or what his father says. Everybody, we're all dads of kids who have, you're proud of your son or your daughter. You want the best for them, and you may say things and try to engineer things to secure the best thing for their futures. Maybe he's guilty of that. Maybe he's been a little bit more overzealous here. I don't look at this as a reflection on Caleb Williams as I do around maybe the people around him. He didn't handle last year as well as maybe he could have, but you know what? He was a rookie, overwhelmed in the midst of dysfunction. So moving forward, everything that matters is what happens next, not what happened last year.
First, I ask questions.
That is the voice of Caleb Williams. If you are Caleb, how would you respond to this report from ESPN.com that revealed you tried to circumvent the draft, wanted to avoid Chicago, didn't think Shane Waldron was a good fit, and was Caleb really watching game film alone?
Maybe here and there, but if he was, that's on him. That's a part of this I think is on him. If you are alone watching tape and you want some guidance and instruction about what to look for, it's not like he didn't have seven quarterback coaches to ask or maybe someone else to sit with him or to help him get out of whatever mess he felt like he was in. The best response, obviously, is winning. Winning, succeeding, being the leader that he was brought here to be, being the professional that he needs to be, all those things, when you talk about success, it is the best way to have the final word. Now, if you're concerned about the perception right now, it's very simple. Regardless of how I felt before the draft, I learned my rookie season, how special it is to become a Chicago Bear. I can't wait to bring the city a championship, period. Three sentences, he can look forward, make this go away, and just move on.
I agree, David. So you get in front of this now, right? You don't wait till the next time you're sitting up at a podium at Hallis Hall. Jump on a podcast if that's what you need to do, or take to any social media platform, make a video if you want. Maybe hire an agent. Does this also kind of scream like you should hire an agent?
He's got a team.
But he has a team of people, right? Are any of them like well-known agents in this league?
Does he have a PR person? I don't think you need to be able to cut a contract to figure out what David just said.
Right, but I mean, we had this kind of same church, different pew with Shador Sanders that we just went through, right? Like they were supposedly sandbagging the interview with the Giants because they didn't really want to go there. So that's why he supposedly had this bad interview with the Giants head coach, who then told everybody around the league who would listen.
Caleb's got a PR issue. He doesn't have a Shador Sanders problem. He doesn't have a Bill Belichick problem. But he's got a problem. And he needs somebody to maybe help him figure out what to say. But sometimes the less you say, the better off it comes.
Sure.
Across.
Now, he was right about Shane Waldron. Not a good fit, right? That he at least knew what would be and what wouldn't be a good fit. But maybe the reason we talked about in the first segment of the show, why didn't they look at Jaden Daniels? Almost because they were afraid of the reaction from the Caleb Williams camp, if you will, what the reaction would have been. Same thing with quarterback.
Now let me tell you,
same thing with the veteran quarterback last year.
If Poles came out and said something like that, I think I might fire him on the spot.
Well, then he won't.
Well, I'm just saying.
I think he might have. You
might be onto something, but if they ever admitted that, well, everyone thinks we're stumbling, bumbling idiots, so what were we supposed to do? Yeah, I got to tell you, this is, to me, this is an old story. This story has changed. We are, it's kind of an ongoing thing. It started out, didn't want to be here, didn't want any part of it, don't really blame him, got here, turned out to be a disaster, ended up on his own. They made amends. They brought in a guy that should be able to coach him up. He should be challenged, and he said that he was going to be challenged, and the coach said he's going to challenge him. So I think actions will speak louder than words. I know he's got to address it. I know that he needs to say something about it. And, David, I would hire you to write that up if I were him, because that's exactly what he said. You don't have anything else going on. You could do that easily. But I just think that if I'm him, I understand whether it was me or my dad or however it got out, now I got something to prove. Now I got to show, and listen, the guy did, let's be honest about it. The kid, you know, he got sacked a ton. He didn't throw a ton of picks for a guy that didn't have much of a chance last year. So you appreciate that he managed to play okay.
Is he coachable?
I think he is coachable. But I think that if he wasn't, I think he got beaten into him last year. I think he learned he needs coaches. So maybe this all will work out in the end. But I think that actions will speak a lot louder than anything he says.
Oh, boy, that's a tough question.
That is the voice of Brad Biggs. Is the entire show out over our skis on the Bears after our guy, Brad Biggs, you just heard his voice there, reported the Bears are only favored in 7 of the 17 games, according to the fine folks at DraftKings. The Bears are only favored in the 6 home games and at Las Vegas. Only 1 road win?
Yeah, that's weird, huh? I mean, it just tells you, again, this is about perception as much as anything else. The idea of a point spread isn't to pick winners and losers. It's to encourage gambling. The idea is we'll give you this. We'll give you a point and a half if you want to lay that. It doesn't mean that there's any great insight. Now, their numbers are fairly accurate, frankly. You need to defy that those numbers. If the numbers are laid down, if Vegas says 8.5, but you're only favored in 7 games, what does that tell you? It tells you that they're manipulating the line in order to encourage gambling. So I think that you got to kind of take it with that approach. It's not going to be – they don't have an easy schedule. They don't have the kind of schedule you usually get when you finish last in a division. And it's just that's the nature of their division being very good, and they're playing a good division this year. So, yeah, they have the second hardest schedule in the league, tied for the second hardest behind the Giants. So there's – I don't think we're out over our skis. I think we're probably looking at it slightly optimistically. When we go 9, you are out over your skis, especially if we're going 11. But that's, you know, not happened yet.
You're on brand.
10. Yeah.
Are you in my mind already? Because so a couple things here. If our friends over at Circus Sports Illinois offer a bet on whether or not the Bears will win 1.5 games or more on the road, I'm so down on.
I'd
over.
Win a half game.
Well, you don't want to push.
No, you
so
can't
you got
make it,
you got
so it's either one.
This
or
is
two.
Gambling. This is gambling vernacular here, David.
Okay,
okay, that's
sorry.
Why. That's why. That's why that
sorry,
had to come
Dad.
Into play. Okay, I'm going to go back to our conversation with Caleb Williams and tie it into this question. I'm hoping that Caleb is not thrilled about this book. I'm hoping that Caleb is not thrilled with all of this, and I'm going to now up it to 11 wins because Caleb is going to play even harder and be more focused. 11 wins now because of this book. So I'm even going farther out over my skis. This okay. just gave them another win.
If the over-under was 7, you would definitely go over without question.
Yes.
If the over-under were 11, which way would you go?
I wouldn't bet it.
It was 11.5 or 10.
No, I'm just saying it's not because of the half. I wouldn't bet it. But it would. They would never get any action on the over. Speaking of trying to get money on both sides of it, I wouldn't do that. But I feel even over 9.5. I feel strongly about that. But now I'm at 11 because of this book.
If you're Caleb Williams, you're acting like this never happened. You're just moving forward, yes. And you're pretending like this is not.
Well, don't pretend it didn't happen on the field, right?
No, you should be so maniacally focused on being the best quarterback you can be that all this stuff is just noise that you ignore. You are oblivious to anything that Seth Wickersham has to write, that anything your father has to say, that anything anybody's going to proclaim on a talk radio show. You don't care. You are locked in. You're watching tape with whoever you want. If you're alone, fine. You're alone with your thoughts. You are Caleb Williams, fixated on being the best quarterback you can be, the best quarterback in Bears history. That's what you want as a response. Are we over our skis? No, I don't think so. Look, you say 7 of 17 games they are favored in. That's what Ben Johnson is here to do, win the games you shouldn't win. There's a couple games you should maybe not be, you're not going to be favored in. You should win those games because you have a head coach that can win one-score games. Everything in the NFL is about one-score games. How do you do in the fourth quarter? We had a quarterback in Caleb Williams who was pretty good in the fourth quarter. Last year didn't matter because they found a way to lose. It was a losing culture. And then once they started to lose, everything snowballed. This year's got to be different. So I don't think 9 victories is exaggerated optimism. I think that 9 victories is probably the Bears maxing out.
Yeah, yeah. I think you the way I looked at it, and I'm sure you do too, David, is they shouldn't have been a 5-win team last year. That was not a realistic look at how good they were.
They probably had 8-win talent.
It was a reflection.
Maybe 9-win talent.
And we said before the year started, they got to have a winning season or this guy's going to lose his job. Well,
he lost his job. They coached themselves into a 5-12 hole.
That's right.
And this year they can coach themselves into a 9 or 10-win season. Yeah. That's the difference.
Wow, that's a great question.
What's the right way for the Cubs to handle Cade Horton over the weekend? Coming off an extra day off and with Craig Counsell playing coy last time we heard from him. And whenever Horton pitches, most likely today, how do you expect him to handle the White Sox lineup?
Ah, yes, baseball. We are here for the Crosstown Series, Cubs and Sox. This is the purpose of this Friday and this weekend. Thankfully, Craig Counsell's not playing around. Cade Horton is starting today, correct? Correct, Dustin?
That's what it looks like.
That's what it looks like? All right. No more games. No more openers. No more worried about the top three guys in any lineup. You're Cade Horton. You've got a guy who's probably the best pitcher in your organization, talent-wise, ceiling-wise. Can we agree on that? I think Cade Horton is the guy. Today, he's going to go 5 innings. He's going to throw 79 pitches, and he's going to shut down the White Sox. He's going to strike out 5, and he's going to leave with a whatever 2-0 lead. I think Cade Horton is finally arrived. I hope he's here all season long.
Well, with this Cubs bullpen, it better be more than 2-0, or I worry about that. I also hope and I think he will strike out more than 5. I'd put it just like over under 6, maybe 6.5. We'll see if we can get that number before we get out of here, what that prop might be. I mean, they're a big favorite today. They're minus 225. They're think 11 runs. Do they already know the wind's blowing
the White
out?
Sox. You're aware.
I understand that, but the White Sox are, I think the word at least right now for the White Sox, they're competitive. I don't think last year they were very competitive. I think now they are at least competitive. And what I've always talked about, you know, you mentioned in the beginning about the two of the better players taking the day off.
You're competitive, Dustin. Nice air of condescension.
That was not a backhanded compliment.
No.
I was trying to be
kind.
Go ahead.
They're competitive.
But they rested 2 guys because I think they want to take, again, the White Sox take this as an organization, take this rivalry seriously. So they gave 2 of their guys a day off to make sure they were ready to go for the whole weekend. I do believe that. But I think the Cubs will win today. I hope the Cubs will win today. I think David's right. 5 innings, 70-ish pitches. But I just hope he's got a bigger than a 2-0 lead because I am not sold on this Cubs bullpen at all.
Is it Shane Smith today?
It is, yes.
Smith? Mm-hmm. He's their best pitcher, and he's been their best pitcher, and he hasn't allowed, I think it's 3 runs or more, I don't think this year, right? He's done very well 7 of the last 8 games. You know, Cade Horton will be fine. He will start. He will throw his 75 pitches. That gets him probably into the 5th inning, that would be the idea, right? Mm-hmm. You'd love to get 5 innings out of them. I think that's what they're looking for. I don't think they'll be, you know, if he can get 4 strikeouts, I think they'd be satisfied and, you know, spread out some hits, maybe give up 1 earned run. That sounds like a really good start to me. I think he can definitely do that. I have not a lot of faith in the Sox. They signed a pitcher overnight, right? Who did they made a trade with the Astros, I believe, for what was the guy's name? Miguel Juarez or something? I should have written it down.
The Sox got a pitcher?
The Sox got a pitcher overnight, buddy.
I was busy worried about popcorn.
You were too obsessed with the Bears.
That's right.
But I don't know is that another they need help in the bullpen. I just don't know that they have an ability to either hold on to a lead if they get one against the Cubs or actually be able to close a game, especially against a team that comes back.
The Astros traded veteran relief pitcher Miguel Castro to the Chicago White Sox.
Yes.
According to FanSided, the return is not yet known. Most likely outcome, cash considerations.
I think there's a spot open for him, so I think he comes right in and maybe we see him today for all I know.
Well, okay, next question.
There he is, Ozzie Guillen. He'll be in studio right between Mully and Haw at 9 o'clock this morning, along with his TV partner, Chuck Garfine. Will Venable might have a tough lineup decision this weekend at Wrigley Field. And who is the Sox hitter you expect to have the best weekend against the Cubs at Wrigley Field?
That's a really tough one. That's really tough. Because, you know, you wouldn't think that there is one guy. Like, I don't think they've got, like, a Cubs killer like they had in previous years where you could count on somebody to be able to do something.
Remember the year Abreu hit, like, didn't he, 3 home runs in one game?
Oh, yeah, Abreu went nuts.
That was during the...
Yeah. But, and they don't have anyone like that anyway.
Yeah.
I would, you know, I think I'm gonna have to go with Miguel Vargas and his change swing as the guy that could possibly do some damage in this game. The hand placement. Yeah. He's moved his hands up on his bat. I don't know if you're following it.
I'm following
it. But he's doing
a lot
better.
We hear all about the hand placement.
He's gotten real good. He is really doing much better. They've actually – I mean, I'll tell you what. You know, as much as you like to badmouth the White Sox, Dustin, David, I'm telling you that somebody there knows something about pitching. And by the way, they might be doing a little something with the bats. So
I do not badmouth the White Sox.
Okay, enough with that stuff. No, I know you're not badmouthing the White Sox, but Dustin, he lives to hate the White Sox. That's why I laughed when he said, "What was your
competitive
as opposed to last year?" Like, yeah, I think we all knew what happened last year, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Just reinforcing it. Yeah. Going back a second, over under 4.5 Ks for Cade Horton. That's the prop that I found so far.
Okay.
4.5.
About right.
So I think that's what you said, right, David? You
yeah.
said right. So you said 5. You're going over. I might have to invest this afternoon. All right. As far as this question goes,
I said 4, if that matters.
Yeah. Well, then you're going over 2, right? And then now we're all
no,
over.
You said it's 4.5.
Right. So you're under.
I said 4.
Would you bet under?
No.
Okay.
I'm not wagering on the White Sox.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask. Okay.
I mean, what are the odds?
The toughest lineup decision might be which catcher to use and when, right? They kind of have a plethora of catchers over there, or which guy to use and which matchup works,
you know who to use.
Works best.
They rested the guy. Use him.
Okay. I would think he would be there today, but I'm saying over the course of the weekend if we're not talking about today.
I think Theis is your guy because the Cubs running game could be a problem unless you have a guy who can throw up. Basically.
And then let's go for Big Timber Tim Elko, right?
Big Timber.
Let's say he's the guy that's going to have a weekend
Timber.
Over.
Is his nickname Tim Tank or something? I think he has a nickname. No offense.
He said Big Timber.
I think they call him Captain.
How about if they use that for his walk-up music today on the organ today?
You want to stick with Timber.
I'm calling Timber.
I think the toughest lineup decision will be who to play at catcher, I think, because you have some good choices. I wonder where they're going to bat Luis Robert Jr. And I think the guy who is the biggest problem from a Cubs perspective is Chase Meidroth could get on base 2 or 3 times a game because he's just an on-base machine. He's a guy that you're not fearing, but you don't want him to complicate things by he's very selective at the plate. He's a guy that didn't play yesterday, so he's coming in more.
Did Tim Elko do anything yesterday? Did he get a hit?
They only scored 1 run, so
but
I don't know.
He got a hit the other day.
He's not hitting well. The league
he's
has,
got 2
according
hits,
to Stoney,
I think.
Adjusted to him. He's not adjusted to the adjustment, so I might have to adjust the nickname. Big Timber, more like
Big Misser?
Big Elko.
Broken Timber.
Yeah, I don't know. It's but the Sox with Will Venable, I think their best lineup includes Meidroth. It includes Vargas. It includes, I think Theis may catch because of the defensive issues and concerns. But I wonder where they're going to bat Luis Robert Jr. in the lineup because he's been all over the place.
So when you just asked that question, I started racking my brain. Off the top of my head, I don't even know.
That is the voice of Tommy Hotovy, Cubs pitching coach. He's going to be up here in just a little bit with Mully and Haw. With Justin Steele, lost for the season. Shota Imanaga down with a hamstring. Who is the best pitcher in town right now? If you needed one guy, one game among the group on either side of town, who's your guy?
This is tough. This is a
currently,
tough,
right? In other words, Shota.
People
would be
who
the
are
answer.
Healthy.
No, injured. Well, Shota's not available. Based on who's available?
Who's available in either dugout?
Today.
Yes.
Today.
This weekend. This series.
Right.
I'm
out of these batch of pitchers from both sides of town. This is a tough one. It's not as easy as it seems. You know, Jameson Taillon would have been the easy answer a month ago, but the last 2 starts, as we said yesterday, 7 home runs in his last 184 pitches. That's a terrible ratio. So he's disqualified. I think Matthew Boyd is probably the one that comes to mind. Shane Smith has done his part to enter the chat, if you will. But I also think that you want to talk about being over your skis. If I had to pick one guy rolling the dice to get five innings of just be the quality start, Cade Horton might be my guy.
Oh, that's wow. That's
Cade Horton might be my guy.
You are a prisoner of the moment.
I am a prisoner of the moment. But we are in the moment. This is Friday morning. This is the question, right?
So they got you wrote their the question. Guy today.
You want to know right now, this moment, this that's series. Right. Give me Cade Horton. Five innings, shut up baseball. I'll take it.
Well, I mean, your lips to God's ears, David. I think it's Saturday's starter, Matthew Boyd. That's who I would go with. He is cool as a cucumber. Reminds me a little bit of Kyle Hendricks, where he doesn't seem like anything bothers him. And, you know, that was a guy that the Cubs gave the ball to in a lot of big moments, and he usually handled them quite well. So my guy would be Matthew Boyd.
Yeah, I think that I think it's probably Matthew Boyd. If I was taking one guy right now for a must-win game right now. But I am, for the sake of this conversation, I am going to go with Jonathan Cannon. I think Cannon has started to pitch better. I think that Cannon, I thought he had... I'll finish the thought. He pitched over 100 innings last year. So I like that he's going to be able to add on more innings. Shane Smith would be the answer, but I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment because he's pitching really well, but I don't know what's going to happen after the break. He might well be the White Sox lone all-star. Everyone gets one. That's the only reason they get one, but he might be that guy. But I think that you probably should take Sean Burke over him if you're taking a Sox pitcher. But I think that I thought Cannon was going to start the year, and I've expected him to get better, and I have seen him, because I watch them a lot, I've seen him improve. And I think that if I were picking somebody right now, he would be the guy I would pick.
He's pitched well lately.
Yeah.
But he needed to. And that spring training was an aberration.
No shadow.
He was really shaky.
I don't know if you're aware of the weather in Arizona.
Yeah, I know. The breaking pitch didn't break and all those things. Yeah.
Right.
Cannon wasn't firing. All those kinds of problems. But that's a surprise pick.
Yeah. I was trying to shock the world.
You did. Shock the world.
All right. We've got the extra point next. We're going to get right to it. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Out of this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
All right, here we go. Time to pick the crosstown rivalry. Would winning a game be a victory of sorts for the White Sox? Are the Cubs going to sweep? Do we need a show wager to make Cubs Sox series even more interesting? What kind of odds are you offering poor Southside native Mully if he supports his Pope's favorite team for a win in the series? 40-1 on a dollar?
That's ridiculous.
It's my favorite question.
That's
ever.
Ridiculous. How do you get 40-1 on a dollar? I don't even know.
Okay, I'll make it $2.
All right. Well, I'm willing to go wager. I think the Cubs are going to win 2 out of 3. I don't think they're going to sweep. Whatever wager you come up with, that's fine with me. You have the Pope on your side. I think the Pope is a Sox fan, but they're going to need more than divine intervention this weekend. The Sox are competitive. They are playing well. I don't think that can be overlooked. They're 500 in May. You did not expect them to be 500 in May. You can
me?
Yes.
I thought they'd have a winning month.
No, you didn't. And they are still unlikely to. So I think the Cubs will win today. I think they win tomorrow, and I think they probably lose on Sunday, because on Sunday, it's really, come on. Do we need to explain more?
It's Jonathan Cannon.
The Pope is a Sox fan.
And it's a Sunday.
Jonathan Cannon's on the mound, and it is a Sunday. And on the seventh day, the Cubs bats will rest. And I think that 2 out of 3 for the Cubs.
So do you think, does the Pope have the Odyssey app and he can listen that way? Or does he have the CHSN app? Or does he have the Marquee? Like, how will the Pope consume the game at the Vatican?
That's a good question, Dustin.
You never have to look for a score when you are
already know when it's going to happen. Okay. Well, hopefully he's got then, I guess, the Circus Sports Illinois app, and he can wager on it, right?
That's only in matters of the church.
Is that not allowed to do that? Probably not. Okay, here. How about this? I won't come to work on Monday if the Sox win the series.
You're
not coming to work on Monday.
I'm not coming to work.
You've got a big weekend.
I'm off.
Big weekend, Dad.
I am off on Monday. Yeah. So that won't work. I did want to.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. Delaney.
Yes, congratulations, Delaney. Graduates.
Dustin has a high school senior, is about to be a college freshman.
Congratulations.
She's going to Dayton?
Dayton of Ohio, yes.
And what will she be studying at the University of Dayton?
She wants to be a dentist or an orthodontist.
Terrific. Yeah. Terrific accomplishment.
So, like, 9 more years of school. But I do think the Cubs will win 2 of 3. I'm hoping for a sweep. Here, you're always happy with 2 out of 3. But if the Cubs do what David suggested and they win the first two, like they just did against the Marlins, then you want the sweep. And if they don't get it, then you're aggravated, right? So I think the Cubs will win 2 out of 3.
Well, I'm unfortunately not in a position. Are you giving?
Well, what about the wager?
I
mean, what about the wager? That's more important.
I get 40-1. Is that what you said? Okay,
no.
I'll take it. 40-1 that they win a game. Okay.
Well, they're like +185 today.
I was willing to give you 3 runs, and you could use them however you want over the weekend.
So I have to win a game 3-0 somehow.
Yeah,
where you got to shut. You
got 5 runs.
Cannon's got to throw a shutout.
Okay, I'll take it. For
okay.
What? For what? Cup of Joe?
I thought, what about dumping the popcorn on each other?
You're the one obsessed with that. I think David has proven he doesn't like people dumping popcorn on him.
I don't like people or mascots dumping popcorn over
him. Has like a bulbous nose now because Mr. David popped.
And Tyler will be here on Monday. He's here today, too. Thank you for being here, Tyler. And he'll be able to help clean it up.
Baby T is here right now.
Baby T is in the
whatever
studio.
Whatever we decide is fine.
Get that man some popcorn.
Yeah.
Brandon, you can have some too. I'll make that deal. I'll take 3 runs.
Good deal. Okay. All right, take
then,
3 runs.
So I could conceivably add 1 to each game and somehow.
You could, or 2-1. Yeah,
I'll need to figure that out.
You have to do the math there.
They have to win a game, and then I can win another game, and then I can use the 3 runs.
Do you think the Sox are going to win the series?
I think the Sox are in trouble in the series. I worry about the Cubs' bats, and I worry about the Cubs' ability to put together a big inning late. I worry about the White Sox bullpen. You think you have issues with the bullpen on the north side, mm-hmm. and I think we all agree, but I think unless this ends up being... I mean, Mark Vassell, is that who's the new guy? Mike Vassell? Mark Vassell?
He was the de facto closer essentially.
Okay, that's good.
Hadn't won a game, hadn't saved a game since high school until the other night, and he got a save, first one since he was an 18-year-old.
All right. I think Sox could win a game.
That's good
but
enough.
I wouldn't count on it.
By the way, thank you to CHSN for these cool thermoses. Nice little swag there.
Everyone get a
little
agua.
These are very cool. Chicago Sports Network. We're simulcasting
beginning at 7. For the love of God.
Yeah, we're going to be on CHSN until 10 today.
Because of all our guests,
because Chuck and Ozzy are here at 9 o'clock. And thank you to the people at Nuts on Clark. Oh, my gosh, there's so much popcorn here.
Yes.
And it, you can stay full all morning long with Nuts on Clark.
Yeah, we are live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio. This is a great stage here. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. And as you say, the fine folks at Nuts on Clark were here at the crack of dawn, and they provided everyone with popcorn, and it's been fantastic. It's great stuff. Can't wait to dig in myself. We will be right back. 312-644-6767 is the number. Mully and Haw on the score.
I'm hoping that Caleb is not thrilled with all of this, and I'm going to now up it to 11 wins because Caleb is going to play even harder and be more focused. 11 wins now because of this book.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. We are broadcasting live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. And also, much thanks to the fine folks at Nuts on Clark. Everybody got some gear. And we are very pleased to be providing popcorn, that they are providing popcorn for us and for all of our listeners this morning. This is a big popcorn party to celebrate the White Sox. But we just heard Dustin upping his prediction because word is out that Caleb did not want to come to Chicago. He did come here. He did play here. And now it looks like the team will be better around him if the offseason is any indication. Do you consider it motivation for him that the story got out?
No, I don't think it is. Again, if you're Caleb Williams, this has got to be something that is just noise that you may address because you're asked about it, but you don't act like it bothers you. You don't revisit it. You don't reopen that door. It's in the past.
Yeah.
And the way that we talked about it in the first hour is the way that he has to look at it moving forward, is that this is an old story. This is new because the book is coming out. It's finally confirmation of things that we suspected. If you remember, and I know you do, is that this was all scuttlebutt. This was all hearsay. This was things attributed anonymously to maybe Carl Williams' father or whatever the case may be. But if you're Caleb Williams now, you've got enough to worry about. You've got a new offense to learn, a fan base to sway, and basically a championship to win. You've got to be focused on that. All you care about is football. And now, you know, if your leadership is coming under question, fine. You're a second-year quarterback who had an uneven rookie season. These have got to be the things that you focus on, not when is the book coming out and what they said about you before the draft.
Yeah, I think that that's a very important point, is that he was a rookie coming into the league. He didn't know where he was going to wind up. It was probably Chicago. That didn't look good from a distance. He's, you know, from the D.C. area. Then he goes to the West Coast by way of Oklahoma. Now he's going to come to the Midwest. It probably from his perspective, it was like a little bit different. But now he's been here a year.
Mm-hmm.
He has lived here for a year. He understands how the game day routine works, where he goes to work, where he drives his car, where he parks on game day, all that stuff. He's not a rookie. He is not figuring out the NFL. He's been here. Now he's got a new scheme. Now he's got a new play caller. Now he's got other things to figure out. And as you say, he needs to be completely focused because that's the requirement of his job. It's going to be tough to figure out.
It's a requirement of every NFL quarterback's job. And you have to be – it's the metaphor is, okay, like when you're in the pocket and there's a lot of things – the pocket is collapsing and there's a guy at your foot and there's a guy aiming for your shoulder and you need to still complete the pass and be focused on the receiver getting into the clear. It's not that different now. You've got a lot of noise surrounding you. You got a lot of people talking about what you said 14 months ago or whatever the case may be. All you've got to do is you're worried about, as we now know, you're worried about Monday Night Football against the Vikings. That's being exactly the best quarterback you can be, being the best team you can be when you start next season, your second season, which has to be much better than your first.
I watched the interview with him, Ben Johnson, on the Colin Cowherd show. And one of the questions he asked him a question about the schedule. And Ben Johnson said that he was really pleased that the bye week is week five. So you get, mm-hmm. he said that you get the first month of the season and then you get the reset where they can go back and figure out. He said that
self-scouting matters.
And he talked
especially
about
with the new staff.
Especially with the new staff, especially with them having to learn new things. And he said that the hardest thing to implement and to learn is actually the running game, not the passing game. That the running game relies on so many people working together and so many people knowing everything that happens. That's where they will do kind of a reboot of the running game if indeed they have to.
That's smart, and I think that's an advantage of having week five as your bye week. The other thing is that if you have a problem with your quarterback under center, maybe that's when you start to rethink whether or not you want to go to more of the shotgun. There's a lot to learn about yourself in that first month. That's why week five is ideal.
All right, we've got a lot to get to. Tommy Hotovy is going to join us next. We'll talk to the Cubs pitching coach right here in the Blue Cross Blue Shield studio. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the Score.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.